One of the questions that I've often gotten as a pastor, particularly from those who have a little bit of age on them, they sit back and they say, you know what, I just don't understand why I'm even still here. Maybe they've lived their whole life, done their job, and then retired, and they just sit back and they think, you know, there's nothing else for me to do. Well, that's one of those things that they've often come and have said to me, I just don't understand why I'm still here. Well, if that's you, one of the things that I want to let you know today is simply this. The reason you're still here is because God is not finished with you yet. What He has done is He has kept you alive for the greatest adventure. And the really cool part is that's what's going to be addressed today in our scriptures that come out of Joshua chapter 14. So grab that Bible, come on back. We'll see you in just a minute as we look at at Joshua being kept alive for life's greatest adventure. Hey folks, we want to welcome you to the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I trust and pray that God is blessing you in a great, great way. And as we get started today, I just want to mention, and I'll probably mention it a little bit later, that it's a very special weekend coming up. It's Memorial Day weekend. I know that a lot of folks may have some plans. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But I want us to be sure that we pause to remember the reason why we take these moments called Memorial Day weekend. It's not just so that we can have a nice cookout. It's not just so that we can spend time with family and friends, but it's a time to remember those who gave that ultimate sacrifice in fighting for the freedoms that you and I enjoy each and every day of our life. One of the challenges that I always like to give our folks around the church, particularly if you have children or grandchildren, make sure they understand what Memorial Day is really about, that it's not just a cookout and the hamburgers and the hot dogs. But I know like around in our area, there are several different places where you could go, maybe visit a memorial, and be sure to teach your children what those are all about. Be sure to let them know that somebody paid the ultimate sacrifice for the freedoms that we enjoy each and every day of our lives. So I want to put that little bug in your ear as we head into this particular weekend. And as always, not just this weekend, be sure when you see those in uniform to let them know how much you really appreciate the fact that we live in a free country because of their willingness to go out and to serve. Just a moment ago, we were talking about those who get in life, and sometimes it's a little bit later on in life, and they'll sit back and say, you know what, I just don't even know why I am still here. Well, you know, today we want to take a look at essentially Caleb, who was one of the spies that went out in the land. I want to go ahead and pick it up in the scriptures at Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse 10. That's Joshua chapter 14, and we're going to begin reading at verse 10. It says this, it says, "And now, behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, for these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now here I am this day, 85 years old. Verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as on the day that Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so now is my strength for war, both for going out and for coming in. Now therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. For you have heard that in that day how the Anakim were there, and that the cities were great and fortified. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out as the Lord said." And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kizanite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron formerly was Kirjath Arba. Arba was the greatest man among the Anakim. Then the land had rest from war. Let's pray together. Father, as we come to you right now, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunities that you give us to gather around your word. Father, I pray that as we look into your word today, that you will speak to our heart, that you will truly help us to realize that because we're living and breathing, that means that you still have purpose for us. You still have a mission for us to be on. And I pray that no matter what age we are, we will truly find that and we will truly be about your will for our lives. So Lord, right now, I pray that you will bless the time that we will spend together, speak to our hearts, and Lord, give us courage to act and react upon what the Spirit says to us today. Lord, as this your messenger, I pray that you would bless me, that the words that come forth today are truly your words and not just mine. May you bless and speak to each heart today as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, now, as we begin our Bible study today, there's a little bit of background, obviously, that folks would want to know. You know, Caleb was one of the optimistic spies. Now, if you can remember back in your Bible reading, there came a time that when Israel had left Egypt, you know, they had crossed the Red Sea, they were on their way to that place called the Promised Land that God was giving to them, the land which flowed with milk and honey. Now, if you remember, they got to the border of the Promised Land at a place called Kadesh Barnea. And that was when there were 12 spies that went out into the land. Most of you will remember this. And it said, you know, when they returned 40 days later, they said, you know what, this land is everything that God said that it would be. It truly is a land that flows with milk and honey. It actually said that they brought back some of the grapes that were on a pole between those that were carrying them, and it was so heavy that they were sagging the pole. And they said this, they said, it's everything God said it would be. But 10 of the 12 said, we're not able to conquer this land because there are giants in the land. It said that we look like grasshoppers in their sight. But yet there were two of the spies that said, we are well able, let's go take it right now. Well, those two spies were Joshua and Caleb. Those were the ones that weren't looking at the circumstance in front of them, but looking at the God who promised them that land, who promised them that he would take care of them, the God that promised them that they would be victorious in the battle as they went forward to take the promised land. So if you remember, though, most of the people decided that they would follow the report of the majority of the 10 who said, we can't do it. And God had enough. And he said, you know what? You guys are going to roam in the wilderness, which turned out to be 40 years. But he said, until those of a certain age, and I always said this, it was the age of those who should have known better, the ones that were the leaders. He said, they're going to drop dead in the wilderness. They will not enter into the promised land. So essentially what's happened is there has come the time when Joshua gets promoted. You know, Moses has also died, and as they go into the promised land, essentially they were led by Joshua. Now, Caleb was still part of the crew as they were entering into the promised land. Remember, he was faithful just like Joshua was. Caleb was the one with Joshua that came back with the report that, hey, man, look, we can do this if for no other reason than because God said we could, and that is the greatest reason of all. You know, he returned believing that Israel could conquer Cana. By the way, if you want some historical background for that, turn over to Numbers chapter 13, and you'll see this down around verse 30. So he was the spy who outlived the doubters. You know, all the spies had died except for Caleb and Joshua, and faith and positive action are something that will extend your life and will extend mine as well. Now, Caleb became a senior adult. Now, a lot of us don't like that word, particularly as we start to resemble that remark. So Caleb now has gotten up in some years. He's become a senior adult, and yet he finds himself on his greatest adventure in life yet. You know, Caleb had been kept alive for this great adventure. Now, remember what I said when we started our Bible study today? I said, if you're alive and you're breathing, then God's not done with you yet. He still has something in store for you. And Caleb had been kept alive for this particular moment. As a matter of fact, let's look at verse 10 of our text. Remember, our text is Joshua chapter 14 and verse 10. He says this, he says, and now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, for these 45 years, ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. Now, most of us would look at that and say, 85 years old, yeah, he has gotten up there to be a senior adult. But the one thing I want you to understand out of this particular passage is that we have been kept alive for the adventures of the year that God has placed us in. Yeah, it's adventurous, man. I've always said we need to sit back and still look for the exciting things that God has out in front of us. God didn't save us just merely to survive, but yet he saved us that not only should we survive, but yet we would thrive as we go forward. The excitement of being on a mission for God. Now, that doesn't have to be something overseas like going on our Cuba team, like those who went with us here in March. It's not anything like that. I mean, it can be like that. But you know what? He's got stuff for us to do right around in our midst. We have our Jerusalem, our Judea, our Samaria, and our uttermost parts of the earth. But you have been kept alive for adventures that still lie ahead of you. God has a lifelong purpose for each and every one of us. Now, advancing years add to the adventure. Caleb now had more wisdom than he had when he was younger. How many of us at times as we've grown, and listen, you don't have to be a senior adult to understand this, you just understand it a little bit more. Even those who've gotten to be a little bit more middle-aged understand that you now have more wisdom in your life than you had when you were younger. You've looked back on things and said, well, if I'd have only known back then what I know now, I would not have done this or I would have done that. So as you grow in wisdom. Now, Caleb had also gained more respect from his family and friends as he had grown not only in wisdom, but also in knowledge. And in Caleb's faith had increased with his age. I hope and pray that for each and every one of us, we will be able to say the same thing, that as we have aged, our faith has increased. We have seen God show up and do incredible things, and we get to the point where maybe there's something big that lies out in front of you, and you sit back and go, hey, listen, man, God took care of something far tougher than this back there. He can certainly take care of it there. So as you age, your faith should age and your faith should mature and it should grow as well. You see, yeah, Caleb was better able to serve now than ever before because he had gotten to that position. God has a plan for all of us as we grow in his love and as we grow in his mercy and as we grow in his grace. And the problem is that too many shrink from the adventures in faith because of their age. Yeah, I've said this, and I've said it even with Central Baptist Church in this day and age. Listen, God's not done with you yet. If you're here, he's not finished with you yet. Don't sit back and say, well, I'm too old to do this. I'm just going to retire, and I'm just going to sit back on the sidelines. That's not God's plan for you. God's plan for you is to be in the game as you go forward. There is a place for you. You know, some of you sit back and say, well, you know what? I can't get on an airplane and go on a mission trip. Maybe you can't, but you know what? You don't have to be on that airplane to be a part of that mission trip. Yeah, I will tell you, and I believe it with all of my heart, that if you can hit your knees and you pray for that mission team that's out there, then your prayers are valuable. If you can support that mission team financially, then that support is valuable. There are so many ways that you can plug into that. Yeah, I've shared with our church before that all of the things that God has accomplished out on the mission field that a lot of the folks back home never saw, particularly as I relate this to Cuba, you were part of that. You will get credit for that because you know what? We wouldn't have been able to have done the things that we had done without you. I still believe with all of my heart that even the fact that we were able to go places and do the things that we did while we were in a foreign communist country were done so under the cover of, I call it the spiritual cover. Your prayers provided a spiritual hedge and a cover for us while we were there. And listen, if you're not praying, then that hedge is not there. So you can see there are many ways that you can still be a part of what God's mission is in this day and age, regardless of your age. Now, I said a moment ago, too many shrink back from the adventures that God has planned for them in their faith because of their age. Don't let advancing years keep you from life's greatest adventure. You know, the coolest part about it is the best adventure that you've ever had in your spiritual life may be the one that's right ahead of you. Not necessarily the ones behind you, but the ones that are ahead of you, regardless of what your age is. So you see, not only that, Caleb had strength for this adventure. I love what he said in our text, but at 85 years old, he refused to believe that he was too weak to succeed. I like what he said in there. He said, man, I'm just as strong now as I was back then. You know, do you have that sort of reserve in your life to sit back and say, well, you know what? I might be 85 years old, but I'm not done yet. I'm going to keep plowing. I'm going to keep going forward. You know, I thought about this. I thought about my dad as I looked at these particular scriptures. He was 84 years old when he went on to be with the Lord. But you know what? He was still out there with his shoulder to the grindstone. He was still out there telling people about Jesus Christ up until the very end. Now, if you would have told him, hey, look, man, you're 84 years old, and it's time for you to lay back a little bit, he wouldn't have believed you, and he wouldn't have done it. How do I know that? Because I did that. I'm like, Dad, you need to slow down a little bit. And he's like, no. You know, I've only got one speed, and that's hammer down. You know, he was not going to allow age to keep him from being what it is that God wanted him to be. You know, he refused, just like Caleb. Caleb refused to believe that he was too weak to succeed. And he focused on the strength rather than his weakness. What are the things that we focus on? What are the natures that we have in our life that we feed? I will tell you this, if you keep telling yourself, or if you keep listening to Satan and saying, oh, well, I'm just too weak to do this, or I can't do this, then let me make you a promise. If that's your mindset, then that's exactly what you're going to be. You know, you can talk yourself into weakness. How many times have you seen somebody, and I think everybody in our life has seen somebody like this, that they'll sit back and they'll begin to wonder about the things around them. And it's so hilarious that over the years, I've watched folks before, and all of a sudden somebody will go, well, what's that on your arm? It's just a mosquito bite. I got that when I was out working in the yard. And then that person says, are you sure that's a mosquito bite? That looks like the bite of the red refuse that's sweeping the nation. And my cousin got bit by one of those, and his arm fell off 2 days later. And then all of a sudden that person starts going, well, maybe that's what it is. All along, you know, it was a mosquito because you swatted it yourself and saw what it was. We will start to buy into these things. And folks, we got to be careful that we don't buy into what it is that Satan is trying to feed us and telling us that we are weak. You know, Satan will tell you, oh, you're too old, you're too weak, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, folks, if God's given you breath, then he has given you a task, and he's got a great adventure that lies ahead for you. You know, some older people, the only thing that they think on are the ailments that they have. That's kind of the topic of conversation. Well, how you doing today? Well, my bursitis is acting up again, and my arthritis, and this. Quit focusing on the weakness and begin to focus on the strengths that you have. Yeah, I love what one person said at one time, and yeah, he really had arthritis pretty bad, and you know, somebody was talking about it, and I loved what he would do. He would always turn this thing around when somebody would say, well, man, how's that arthritis? It really looks like it's bothering you today. He'd say, well, the arthritis is not that great, but I'll tell you one thing, I got better vision than you do. So what he did was he looked at the strengths that he had and ways to be able to leverage those for the sake of the kingdom. Caleb, at 85, thought of the joy of the adventure. 85 years old, and you know what he was thinking in his mind? He's like, hey man, let's do this. Let's get on with it. He wasn't sitting back saying, well, you know, I've done my time, and I'm just going to leave that for the next generation. I'm just going to sit over here and let them go. He said, I'm going to be right in there. I'm going to be digging right along with you. You know what? I might not dig as fast, but I'm still going to be in there digging with you. I love people like that. I love folks that their heart and that's what their attitude is. You see, Caleb viewed his strength as sufficient for whatever lie ahead. Do you do that? Do you sit back and say, you know what, Lord, the strength that you've given me is what I need for the journey that lies ahead? I love what he said in our text. He said that he was as strong at 85 years old as he was at 45. If you go back and look at it in the scripture, that's exactly what he's saying. He said, I'm as strong right now and I'm 85 years old as I was when I was 45. He said, when I went down there as a spy and when I came back and said, we can do this, I'm just as strong now, even though it's, it's 40 years later, I'm ready to go get it. You see, he was strong enough to travel into Cana. He was strong enough to go to war expecting victory. Did you get that? Not only was he strong enough to go to war, he was expecting victory. How was he expecting victory? Because he knew that the victory would come through the Lord. He knew that even 40 years earlier at the border of Kadesh Barnea, when he was saying, we can do this, not because we're doing it of our own strength. We can do it because God told us we could. Folks, what has God told you? Listen, which one are you listening to? Which ear are you listening to? You listening to Satan over here saying that you can't do it, you're not strong enough, you're not smart enough, you don't have enough faith? Or are you listening to God who says, you can do it, and I'm going to get you through it? It's all up to you. Which do you choose to follow? Caleb was like, hey, man, I'm ready to go. Let's go. Go to war. Imagine an 85-year-old man getting ready to, not only to go to war, but expecting to have victory as he went. Okay? Christ is what provides us strength for the day. Jot down in the margin of your Bible somewhere, Deuteronomy 33, verse 25, and then also Philippians 4:13, which most of us know. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, you know what? If you're doing it your own strength, then you can't make it. And I don't care if you're young and as strong as an ox, you won't make it without God. And I also don't care if you're 90 years old and can barely get one foot in front of the other. If you're counting on God to get you through it, then He is the one who will provide the strength for the journey. That's one of the things I love about how God works. You see, Caleb believed that God had equipped him for this adventure. Now, that's an incredible point to remember in today's Bible study. Caleb believed that God had indeed equipped him for this adventure. I love what he said. He said, give me this mountain. He didn't say, well, I'm old, I'm 85, give me the flat land where I don't have to go uphill. Give me the flat land where I don't have to work as hard. He said, no, give me the mountain. Give me the hard task. Give me the thing that lie ahead. You see, God has equipped us for what He wants us to do. We can sit back and say, this is what we want to do, but God has equipped us, every one of us, even every one of you that's listening to this Bible study, do you realize that what God is calling you to do, He has already equipped you with everything that you need to do to get the job done for His honor and for His glory? He wants you to be an instrument in His hands. He's given you the equipment. He's given you a mission. He's given you a great adventure. Okay? You see, age brings new adventures. I sat back and I thought about that as I was studying through this passage. And I just thought about how age progresses. I remember that even before I was 16 years old, at least my generation, even before we were 16 years old, we wanted to drive a car. Man, we were always asking Mom and Dad, hey, man, can I drive in the parking lot, or can I do this or do that, or can I drive on the road? All of us probably remember, or at least of my generation and below, remember sitting on Mom and Dad's lap and, you know, turning the steering wheel as you went forward, because, man, we didn't have car seats back then. You just got thrown all around in the car. And yet we all lived. Imagine that. But see, this age brings new adventure. You know, travel may take us on adventures in new places. Where you go, what you see, what you do. You know, think about health problems for a minute, because that seems to be something that as you get older, you seem to see. I said to somebody not long ago, I said, my dad went home to be with the Lord when he was 84, and I said, I'm 58, and I think I have more doctors right now than he does. But health problems may bring us into contact with people who need exactly what we can provide for them. God's got a reason why He places you where He places you and what He needs you to do. One of the greatest biblical examples that I see of that is when we talk about Paul and Silas. In the Bible, Paul and Silas were out preaching the word. They wound up getting arrested. They were beaten. They were put into prison. And yet, could you imagine what the revival was like? It's at midnight that Paul and Silas sang hymns and sang praises unto the Lord. And it says a great earthquake came, and the shackles fell off of them, and the cells popped open. And the word says that when the guard came and saw that all the cells were open, it said he took his sword out to take his own life, because he knew that that's exactly what the penalty for escape would be, that it would cost him his life. He was getting ready to take his own life. Paul said, well, hang on, don't do that. All of us are here. Have you ever catch that in there? It wasn't just Paul and Silas. It was all of the other prisoners were still there as well, because something incredible was going on in that jail. Well, think about this. Even the Philippian jailer at that particular time, knew something was happening. Paul and Silas had that opportunity to lead him to salvation. It says he took him home, they dressed the wounds, and all of his family trusted Christ that day. Do you realize that never would have happened if Paul and Silas hadn't been in prison? So instead of us looking at all the things that happen in our lives and complaining about them, why don't we start looking around for the opportunities? If you sit back and say, well, you know what? Today, I'm here, I don't like what's going on, I have to have chemotherapy, and you're sitting in a chemotherapy session, why don't you look to your right and to your left and see who's around you and see what incredible thing that God wants to do in their life, and he wants to use you to do it. You know what? Maybe that's exactly what's taking place. You see, wisdom is what will enable us to be better servants of God. Wherever you are, start to look. Purpose to be used by him. Purpose to be that instrument in God's hands. Purpose to be a Caleb that says, you know what? I might be a little older and I might be a little slower, but thanks be to God, I'm still out there running the race. Every time I think about this type of a thing, I think about one of the shows that I still like to watch to this day on television. I guess I'm an old soul at heart, but many of you may have seen the old series of Barney Miller, you know, based on the 12th precinct of New York. And of course, if you've seen it, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And it came a time when the oldest detective there, which they called Sergeant Fish, they were kind of giving him forcible retirement. And I love a little speech he made in one of the shows when he said, there comes a time when you have to realize that there's a younger generation, and you know, you need to yield to those that are stronger, that are faster and can move along. And he says that it just comes that time when you have to realize that. And then he turned around, he took his little peg and he moved it over in the pegboard and turned around and said, well, I'm not ready to do that, or I'm not willing to do that, is what he said. And of course, that just made me laugh, because I thought, man, what kind of resolve do you and I have when it comes to being an instrument in God's hands? I'm not going to sit back and say that I'm ever retired. You know, someday the Lord may lead me away from Central Baptist Church, but I will still be serving him. I will still be telling people about Jesus, maybe in a different way, but I'm still going to be doing that. I love what the Cuban senior adults said, and one of them in particular that's with the Lord now, but he would take it, he would make little, they actually looked like little pulpits, and if I'd thought about it, I'd have brought one and showed you, because I've got one on my desk. But he put little scripture cards in English, and one of his ministries that would be that when teams were there, he would come out every morning, and as we would start to work, he would have us draw one of the scriptures out of the front of that little box, and he would have us read it out loud, and then we would return the scripture to the back of the box. And I loved on the front of it, you had a little handicap symbol with a wheelchair. Well, he had a little wood inlay on there that had the little handicap sign, but at the top of it, it had a cross. And I love what he said. He said, just because we're handicapped doesn't mean that we can't be used by God. Now, you have to realize that in Cuba, if you're a senior adult, you're considered handicapped. And I loved his resolve. Now, this guy was well into his 90s. And, I mean, his family had even tried to kill him because they were staunch communists and he had trusted the Lord. And yet God continued to take care of him. Folks, wisdom will enable us to be better servants of God. And understanding will give us a greater compassion for those who are hurting, the ones that are around us. What can we do to reach out to them in whatever way that we can to be helpful to them? You see, folks, doing God's will is life's greatest adventure. Remember, we talked about, as we started our Bible study, we talked about being on God's greatest adventure in our life, and it could still lie ahead of us. How do we get there? We get there by doing God's will, and that's what will bring that great adventure. The adventure begins with salvation by grace through faith. And as always, I have to ask you, have you trusted the Lord? Has there been that time when you've said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior? I believe what Jesus accomplished on Calvary's cross, and as he came through that grave, as he resurrected, he conquered death, hell, and sin, and everything else. Have you confessed that before him? Have you just said, Lord, I realize I'm a sinner? Listen, if not, I want you to stop what you're doing right now, wherever you may be, and just simply say, Lord, today I know I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. Come into my life, save my soul, and help me live for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you meant that, then I will promise you that he saved you. But listen, that doesn't change. You've got to start making those steps to be a part of the family of God. He didn't just, you don't just say, okay, I did the thing and walk away. It's about a relationship with a holy God through Jesus, his son. Can you do that? Listen, if you trusted Christ today, please contact us at Central Baptist Church. We would love to send you some material to help you get started in your walk with the Lord. We're not going to harass you or anything to that nature, but we just want to be of assistance to come beside you and walk this journey to spiritual growth with you. You see, God has great adventures planned for all of those who believe. Not some, but all of those who believe. Have you surrendered for life's greatest adventure? Maybe today you've been saved for a long time, but you've never been surrendered for the great adventure. May today be the day when you sit back and say, like Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. Will you do that? I'm going to pray for you in just a minute, but I want to just go ahead and give you what our Bible study and our Bible reading for this week will be. This week, we're actually going to be looking at Acts chapter 3. I want you to study in Acts chapter 3 this week. And next week, we will discuss a miracle with a message out of Acts chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. So Acts chapter 3. This week, study it in depth. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you in an incredible way, okay? All right, let me pray with you before we end our time together today. Father, I thank you for all that you do for us. Lord, I thank you so much for the opportunity to enjoy the freedoms that have been bought with a price from the American soldier who you've kept your hand upon. And Lord, today I pray that that you will help each and every one of us to understand that we haven't aged out of life's greatest adventure. Lord, and even if we've had some great adventures in the past, you still have great adventures that will lie ahead of us as we go forward. Help us, Father, to seek you. And Lord, may we truly be like Caleb and be able to say, you know what, I'm 85 years old, but I'm more ready now for the adventure than I was 40 years ago. Lord, I'm ready for you to be to use me to reach people with the gospel message. And Lord, don't just give me the easy stuff. Lord, give me this mountain. Give me the tough assignment. Father, I pray that you will help us as your Holy Spirit speaks to our hearts. May we deal with you in a way that says, I surrender all. And Lord, I pray that this week we will truly be a blessing to someone as we purpose, like Paul and Silas, that we purpose to look at those around us and see where you can use us in the lives of each and every one of those people that's in our midst. So Lord, give us a great, great week as we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey folks, again, I want to thank you for joining us for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. As always, I want to invite you, if you don't have a church home, or even if you do have a church home and would like to visit with us, please come by. Our services are at 10:45 a.m. Each and every Sunday morning. We have discipleship opportunities throughout the week, but we would love for you to come worship with us in spirit and in truth at 10:45. We're located at 1715 Highway 68 North, in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. You can find all this information on our website, which is www.oakridgecbc.org. As a final reminder, as we dismiss today, do not forget what we will celebrate or what we will observe this week as we consider Memorial Day, as we consider those who gave the ultimate sacrifice. Their shed blood and their life was given that you and I might have the freedoms and enjoy the freedoms that we enjoy each and every day of our lives. Take that moment to go out, visit a memorial, talk to your children, talk to your grandchildren, make sure they understand it so we will be able to pass that down from generation to generation. And what are we passing down? The respect for those who gave the ultimate sacrifice that we might be free today. Listen, I've been in places where we don't have the freedoms like we have in America. Cuba's communist. It's not like, you know, a lot of people that like communism have never been there, because when you experience it up close, you will not want it. I can make you that promise. But at any rate, come visit with us. We would love to see you. God bless you. Have a great week. I'll see you next week. If not Sunday, I'll see you next week on the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church. God bless.